your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thank you for joining me for What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. I am very happy to be back with you after a relaxing beach break, which with weather like this, so at 80 degrees out right now, it's all it's missing is the palm trees right now. But I am very excited to be back with you. This really is my happy place. I am recharged and I get to talk to some creative folks here in our community in the WTMJ studio over the next couple of hours. The Milwaukee Gold Rush experience, the scavenger hunt that's been happening all around the city this past month. And you realize it's National Cheese Day. The artist, Adam Heimbach, is going to join me at 6:35 to tell us what his Milwaukee Gold Rush experience has been like and tell us what the grand finale is going to be like tomorrow. There's still cash that you can find stashed around the city in his gold cheese brick sculptures. So Adam will share that info, plus brand new sneakers from Shake James. They're called What the Milwaukee, and the shoe drop is this weekend. He will have all the details on this new collectible shoe that celebrates Milwaukee. And there is the return of the historic Gobbler Theater in Johnson Creek. Jim Weatherly of the Gobbler is going to join me at 7:35 to tell us all about what to expect at the return of this entertainment venue. But I'm very, very excited right now. He has weathered the warm weather to join me. You know, the Tony Awards are coming up on Sunday, and I love that we have so many local connections to such a world-class, worldwide celebration of theater excellence. And Mark Clements, Artistic Director of the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, joins me now because as soon as the Tony nominations came out, Mark, I called, and where were you? You were in New York.
I was.
You were? Well, then that answers my next question, as I wondered if you went specifically because it was Tony nominations time and day. You just happened to be there for, I would imagine, in your line of work as an artistic director of a major theater in our country, you find yourself in New York regularly.
Yeah, I'm there kind of every 4 to 6 weeks, depending on my rehearsal schedule. But yeah, I feel like it's like a regular commute now. But I was there to entertain meetings. You know, we had a great article in the New York Times earlier this year celebrating the opening of our theater, and that we are fortunately, touch wood, a theater in the USA that is actually doing very well right now and very well supported by our audiences. And that's opened up a lot of doors of interest for people in New York now calling us instead of us calling them. So we're kind of riding that wave while we can.
When New York calls you, what are they looking for in the newly renovated Repertory Theater?
Well, the thing about the newly renovated space is that it's kind of unique in some ways that we can be in our main stage. We can be a proscenium arch theater. We can be a thrust. We can fly scenery in and out now. We can bring things up through the stage. We, you know, we have good access policy now for our audiences. So a lot of time, the New York producers are interested in things that most of what you see on Broadway are often, not always, but a lot of things start their life in the regional theater in places like Milwaukee Rep. And, you know, if I think about Wicked and Jersey Boys, they all started in regional theaters. And so, you know, oftentimes they're looking for a place that has a good facility where their actors are going to be looked after, a good theater-going audience that could support a new work. And we have that now competitive edge over some of our competitors around the country. And, you know, starting original new work and that hopefully can be seen further afield, which has always been our goal. But, you know, starting its life in Milwaukee is fantastic.
Well, and that I will say congratulations to you and the entire team at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, because you have to have this vision and you have to have this knowledge that is what the appetite is and how to keep regional theater growing by collaborating and by being available and accessible in this way to those productions who are looking maybe beyond New York and other parts of the world.
Absolutely. You know, we did
That's no small feat.
No. I mean, we did a play called The Heart Sellers in our studio theater about three seasons ago, and that last year became the most performed play in the United States and is now being seen all around the world and has won awards. So, you know, it's great seeing for the artists involved. I mean, it's a hard life in the theater. I was just listening to your news cast about baseball players earning $140 million over 4 years. And, you know, and that's not the way that it works for most people in the theater, even at the most successful level. So having them have a play that starts its life and then being seen elsewhere around the world and appreciated and knowing that it came out of Milwaukee Rep is a great thrill.
Well, Mark, I happen to know that you have a passion for musicals in particular. So I'm excited to find out when we come back your perspective on the musicals that are nominated for Tony Awards, which you've seen and which maybe you might be rooting for, have some insights, and maybe some of the local angles. So stay with us for a Tony Awards preview. Maybe we'll ask for some predictions. But Mark Clements, Artistic Director of the Milwaukee Rep, stay with us.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
I chose that music specifically from Ragtime, one of the Tony Award nominated shows this season for Best Musical Revival. And in the studio with me from Milwaukee Repertory Theater, Artistic Director Mark Clements. Mark, what kind of memories does that bring when you hear that music from Ragtime?
Huge chills. I think it was, if I look back on my tenure, which is 15 years now, and there are some seminal productions that I think changed the face of the Rep from where we were to what we are now. I would say Ragtime was one of those. And so I think of it incredibly fondly. And I've come to believe that Ragtime may be the best musical score, if not the best, one of like the top two or three ever in musical theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big. Would you ever stage it again?
I would, yeah. But we were going to, actually, but immediately after the pandemic. But we had Titanic that we just opened and plowed a lot of money in and was doing very well for us. And so we decided to leave that set and that production on the stage and pick up when we were able and safe to do so, which is what happened. So Ragtime, the revival for now, got nixed. And I think the Broadway production, I hear, is going to tour nationally. So I don't think we'd probably be doing it for two or three more years.
But you'll get to see it.
Yeah.
So the Tonys, what's the relevance to the Tonys?
Yeah.
Because we're not in New York, but what is the relevance to any live theater goer or just anyone who loves live entertainment?
Sure. I mean, the Tonys, if you have interest in theater, and obviously there are people who cross over from TV and movies that other people may be more familiar with, and they get to see those people on a Broadway show, and maybe they're nominated for a Tony. So the Tonys are the theater version of the Oscars. You know, where I think the category is very specific. It's just the only shows that are eligible are shows that are officially on Broadway. So it has to fall in that category. You know, and when you think about it, there's off-Broadway and off-off-Broadway, of which are thousands of good shows, and some of those shows move their way. Like if you think about O Mary, started in the Village downtown and is now on Broadway, looks like isn't going to end soon, and is also in the West End. So the Tonys are very important, I think, in terms of they're a great celebration. And honestly, I think anything that lifts the industry, the theater industry, which is a tough industry at the best of times, is a positive and good thing of keeping it, you know, that and celebrating the what, you know, is it the best of the best? I mean, it's all very subjective. It's always,
especially when it comes to art in particular.
Completely, yeah.
No one's keeping score. I'm sure box office may have something to do with it sometimes to
Absolutely.
Help sway
yeah.
something.
Yeah, I mean, it's political, like the Oscars are, and anyone who says it isn't is ridiculous.
So who's going to win? Who deserves to win? What are some of the titles in your conversation that excite you?
I actually have seen most of the shows, actually.
Value your opinion even more.
Well, you know, we'll see. You know, again, subjective. I mean, in the best musical category, I think there's four. It's The Lost Boys, Schmigadoon, Titanic, as opposed to Titanic,
yes.
and Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York. I think Two Strangers Carry a Cake is one of my favorite shows that I saw this year. And I think it's a. I love. It came out of the UK.
Oh, so not necessarily because it's an Englishman in New York, which you have been.
Yes, I have and am. Yeah, dual citizen. But I actually think it's a really lovely little show. I was expecting it to be a bit frivolous and slight, but actually, it's not. It's very entertaining, very substantive. If you're going to New York. Definitely go and see it. And
I know, you know a mother and daughter who just went.
Oh.
Mom and a 17-year-old daughter who just went last week and raved about it.
Yeah.
It's raved about Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York, which is just a fun title to say.
It is a fun title and two fantastic performers, very innovative design and just – and what I love about it as well, you know, listen, I'm all for a revival. We started talking about Ragtime, but I really – it's wonderful to hear, for me – and a lot of people to see a musical which is fresh, an original score, an original story, not based on a book or a movie or a revival. And that's really refreshing. And I love seeing that, you know, sometimes and not knowing exactly how it's going to turn out. And in my case with Two Strangers, seeing something that was incredibly fun and moving and uplifting and innovative and kind of left me buzzing and wanting to recommend it highly, as I am now doing on your show.
But I also like that because I kind of joke, jaded media professional, when you know something excites us in the newsroom that's a new story or a new restaurant opening, it's like, oh, you've crossed that line between, you know, crossing our arms and kind of looking at it cynically or you know, with that analytical mind. But when you get swept up in something and really, for you, you get to be a fan, not think as a director or as scrutinizing the set design and going, oh, I wouldn't have put that there. You know, like when it can actually give you the escapism that it gives the rest of the audience.
That's kind of rare for me. I got to be honest, these days where I'm able to, either I know someone in it or who's involved in it because I've been doing this a long time and we use a lot of Broadway people at the rep. So, you know, there's lots of crossover. In fact, there's two nominees who, you know, we know from Milwaukee and Josh Schmidt, who did composing the sound for Bug. And I've done shows with Josh and Carrie Coon, who's having, you know, I think one of the first actors I ever saw perform in Milwaukee when I came here at Renaissance Theater, I believe. And, and I was like, who is this woman? She's really good. And, you know, of course, she's gone on to do amazing things and well-deserved. She's a lovely person and an extraordinary artist. And
she's great on screen when you think of The Gilded Age and The White
wonderful.
Lotus. But to know that she's that well-regarded and that she had that it when you saw her.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes you just, same with Josh, you know, you hear something and you go, wow, this guy's, who is this? That, you know, when you don't know them and you come in, especially as I did at that time, new into the city and seeing these just wonderful artists working away. And I, you know, I'm working with a lot of them still and enjoying, loving doing that. And some are based here and some are elsewhere or were here and now moved on as Carrie was. And Josh is still based in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. And does all sorts of things. Composing for operas. And it is fascinating. Just like reading liner notes for an album, I'm a big playbill reader. So when you see people's names pop up, Josh Schmidt does a lot of sound design. But it's not because he's the only guy in town. It's because he's that good.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm very rarely, we try and say, well, look, let's cast some local actors on this. You know, let's make sure that we mine the best of people first and foremost in Milwaukee and for our shows. And but I'm not obligated to use any people. So anyone I'm using is, and there are many, is because I want to. So I'm about to do a production of 12 Angry Men. Well, I say just. It's going to be in the beginning of next year. But I would say probably of the 12 angry men, 7 of those angry men are from Milwaukee or based in Milwaukee. And literally all of that cast, without exception, have performed on a Milwaukee rep stage before. So that was a kind of focus around that. And that's a bucket list show for me. So hopefully that is testament to, you know, the rhetoric.
Wow. All right. Before I let you go back out into the summertime warmth of the evening.
Yeah.
Where will you be watching the Tony Awards? Is this an annual hoopla for you in your home or do you go out?
I'd be lying if I was, you know, if there's somebody's throwing a party and they want to invite us, you know, they will, but we'll have it on the TV, I'm sure. And, you know, be watching it and, you know, probably with wherever we end up, there'll be a live feed on the phone, you know, where it's coming through. So I can, you know, keep my eye on who's, but it'll be interesting. I like doing, who I think will win and who I would want to win. You know, those are always, that's my fun part of the exercise.
Well, enjoy Tony Award night on Sunday, you and your lovely bride and all of your theater enthusiast friends and colleagues. And yeah. Thank you so much for sharing some of your insight. We could talk for 2 hours.
I know, but easily.
I have so many more questions. Yeah. But thanks for all that you do to keep our theater here, drama and musicals, so vibrant. And continued success to you and everyone at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. Tell us, before you go, what's on stage right now?
On stage right now is our last production of the inaugural season, which is we have two, actually. We have George and Gracie in the Stackner Cabaret, which the royalty couple of Milwaukee theater couple, is Tammy Wilkerson and Jim Pickering. George and Gracie running for another couple of weeks. And then until, I think, June 27th, we have Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, with a lot of Agatha Christie events around. We're doing a mini festival around it. And so, yeah, that runs to the 27th and is the last show and is selling out really well. So if you want to see it, book it before it ends.
Before it goes, book early to avoid disappointment.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Mark Clements, Artistic Director of the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. And stay with us. We have National Cheese Day to celebrate next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Happy National Cheese Day. I feel like it's a requisite to say that in the dairy state on such a day. And if you've been seeing blocks of cheese around the city, you've not only not been hallucinating, but you've been seeing sculptures, little works of art by Adam Heimbach, an artist who grew up in Delavan, now known around the world for painting, performance art, but now he's officially a sculptor with Milwaukee Gold Rush, the scavenger hunt. And you might have heard him on What's on Tap at the kickoff of the Milwaukee Gold Rush scavenger hunt. It wraps up tomorrow already. And Adam Heimbach, welcome back to What's on Tap. And tell me what the scavenger hunt experience has been. Actually, refresh everybody's memory on what the concept has been.
Yeah. Well, first off, good to be back to What's on Tap with Sandy Max. Love it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you had a good enough time the first time that you'd come back and bookend your Milwaukee Gold Rush experience.
Yeah, I'm a reoccurring character.
A friend of the show, as we like to say.
Yeah. Yeah, the Milwaukee Gold Rush, big spectacle. So far, it's been a month, about five weeks, 15 sculptures. I've hidden 15 sculptures throughout the city of Milwaukee. They're fine art, contemporary sculptures, and inside of each one is an amount of cash, and you know, various amounts of cash, from a little to a lot. And you know, decipher the clues, play the scavenger hunt, find the
cheat. I registered. Visitmilwaukee.org. You still can.
This you is still can. Going on.
So what you do is it's Map King and Visit Milwaukee, and that's where you find the clues. You can see the map and little pinpoints, and that's how you learn the riddle. And they're all very riddlish.
Yeah,
they're not straightforward. They're all thinkers.
Yeah, it's got a, you know, there's a little bit of a learning curve. So, and it's not entirely easy. It doesn't give the clue right away, but you log on and thousands of people have played digitally, and you play digitally, and then you decipher the clue, and then it gives you a physical location in Milwaukee to you to race off to and look for that.
The Pokemon Go portion of things.
Yeah, you know, it's all about getting out in the world and like forming community and just like moving your legs.
Where are some of the spots that have you've stashed your brick of cheese sculptures?
Yeah,
now that it's finished, you can share some of those landmarks and locations.
Yeah, finished tomorrow. What a whirlwind. Been a great time. Honestly, getting back to, because I went to college in Milwaukee. I went to UWM.
Ah.
So, and I spent a lot of time at the movie theaters. And so I got to go back. We hit a couple sculptures at one at Downer Theater and Oriental Theater.
Cool.
And I hadn't been in those in 2 decades. I think I saw there, I remember seeing There Will Be Blood at Oriental Theater and just being wowed by the immersive experience of it all. You know, it's so ornate inside.
It's truly a historic landmark. It's a, you know, 1920s movie palace. It lives up to the name.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I hadn't been in there, like I said, a couple decades. And I went in there last weekend to work with the people in the venue to hide a sculpture. And it brought me back. It was great.
Now, where did you hide it within those movie theaters? Under a seat?
Well, no, nothing.
Tucked under
nothing,
a lion?
Deep in the candy bin. nothing was too terribly challenging to find, you know, so it was nothing. Once you get to the location, then it is
sort of like Amazing Race. Okay. There's the clue.
Exactly.
Box.
It's a very Amazing Race type of, scavenger hunt. So
movie theaters, where are other places that you, because I teased you that it was going to be just a brick of cheese sculpture, right between Franz Fond's feet. Have any of them been that obvious? Where else have you been stashing?
No, they've been pretty varied. We went to Schlitz Autobahn north of here, and that was I've never been up there. I met Bridget there. What up, Bridget, if you're listening? and walked around there after I worked with the team, the place to hide the sculpture. It was great. Yeah, I mean, it's just been when I've been in town and I've been able to be on site at these like little hunts, it's been a very fulfilling experience for me. Meeting people, working with the people of Milwaukee and the people at the various venues. It's been fantastic.
You've been present at every single discovery?
No.
Okay. do you know if, has anyone chosen to not break open the sculpture and get the cash? Do you know?
I don't know because, while majority of people have chosen to destroy my hard produced artwork in front of my eyes on video, there's been a few that haven't, and there's been one winner who's won multiple times.
Are they just that smart and dedicated to figure out these clues?
I was at the lakefront.
That's astounding.
Yeah, and I asked, you know, my team and I, we got to watch out for you. I mean, how are you finding these clues so quickly? Because she'd roll up within 20 minutes of us posting the clue. And she, her only response was like, I'm just a psycho about this kind of stuff. And I was like, okay.
I feel like it's finding what your skill is. Like, can she hack into things? Like, how can we turn this into a really useful skill?
Yeah. And I'm like talking to my sister. I'm like, oh man, this woman, I mean, she's winning at them, like a few of them. And she's like, I would too. Of course I would. If you can get, you know,
I'm glad there's been that level of excitement and reaction. I mean, thousands of people are participating for over $20,000 in cash dispersed in these various sculptures. So it's fun and it's still going on. When we come back, artist Adam Heimbach, who's with me, who has created these money-filled sculptures, is going to share all the details that he can about tomorrow's grand finale of the Milwaukee Gold Rush Scavenger Hunt. Stay with us here on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Okay.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And if you go to visitmilwaukee.org tonight and register for the Milwaukee Gold Rush, you'll be able to work with the interactive Map King map, and you have your last chance for the Milwaukee Gold Rush scavenger hunt is the big finale tomorrow. And artist Adam Heimbach grew up in Delavan, went to UW-Milwaukee, and is here with me now because you're now a sculptor officially with these cheese block sculptures that are easily destructible because they're not quite paper mache, but they're not made of cast iron. They're made so that you can tear in and get cash.
Yeah, archival materials, very fine archival materials, papier mâché.
Wood pulp right here in Wisconsin, I'm sure.
That's right.
And I do want to say that for anybody who's like, yeah, okay, cash. No, literally, because when this kicked off at the new fashioned, the very opening, you hid one of the sculptures inside upstairs. One of the happy people found it. And the moment of truth, do you tear into this sculpture? Sure enough, he did, and dollar bills were flying. Like, so you literally put cash. This isn't like a gift card. Like, this is truly currency that you have stuck in the cheese sculptures.
Cold hard cash, Sandy. Cold hard cash.
Or flimsy paper cash, but it all spends. So now that you have watched people embrace the city, just like you have, it's been fun hearing you say, I got to go to the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center. I got to go back to the Orneal Theater. I love that to hear that you're as excited to rediscover Milwaukee as much as the scavenger hunt folks are. So the next clue is going to drop in hours. When you go to visitmilwaukee.org, you'll see the countdown there. What's going to happen tomorrow, Adam? What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, tomorrow the forecast calls for a lot of rain. So we had to cancel the parade. We had to cancel the dancing mozzarella sticks. And this is our side plan. It's that we're hiding three sculptures tomorrow. So you have three chances to win tomorrow.
Okay.
Three sculptures, three times the money, and 100 grilled cheeses, free grilled cheese. So that's it all kicks off with the first clue dropping at 11 a.m. Friday, June 5th.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so that's, are we back at the new fashion for grilled cheese sandwiches? Where are we going for grilled cheese sandwiches?
That afternoon, we can meet back at the old-fashioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so secretive. So really, the best way to go about getting in on the cash and the fun and possibly getting a collectible sculpture from Adam Heimbach is to go to the website.
Yeah, yeah.
Visitmilwaukee.org and register so you can play around on the Map King. And the other thing is, that's also your gateway. You can choose other Visit Milwaukee routes on Map King if you like to go to art places or food places. It's a really good idea to get you interested in exploring the city in a really easy way on your phone.
Yeah, Map King's great. Great partners with this art piece. Very useful tool. Great for anyone looking to explore. So Visit Milwaukee and Map King have been great on this project, this art piece. And it's been, like I said, it's been 20 years since I've spent any real legitimate time in Milwaukee. Rather than like visits to Summerfest and here and there. So it's been a very fulfilling experience for this artist.
Oh, what a wonderful way for you to be welcomed back to your home state, and a wonderful way for you not only to experience it, but to help other people experience it. So I feel like it's very enriching. Where will your art take you next?
You know, I'm painting a big mural on a big building in Manhattan later this summer. And again, I still have an exhibition coming up with the New York City Museum of Contemporary Art, NYC MoCA, and that launches in September. So I'm busy bee.
Good. We like to hear that for the arts economy. And we like that you've made an impact here. Would you consider doing another Wisconsin project?
Oh, yeah. I have one foot firmly planted in this state, despite me traveling all over the world. I plan to do a lot more projects in Wisconsin and Milwaukee.
Well, stay in touch. Have a fantastic time tomorrow at the Milwaukee Gold Rush finale, squirreling away your three last cheddar block sculptures.
Contemporary art, fine art, priceless pieces of cardboard.
I told you I would have saved it.
And thank
you. I would have played the long game on that. Because they're signed. They're each signed by you.
They're pieces of art. I mean, not for nothing, you know. I'm known as a painter, and those paintings, they go for quite a bit amount of money. And I just want to urge people, if they find these sculptures, you know, hold on to it.
That would be my gift play.
Yeah.
I sound like I'm unusual, but it will be interesting over the next few months before you come back with an update on your next travails to see like if they pop up on eBay or if people emulate you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all fair game. Once they leave the studio, it's like, who cares?
Spoken like an artist. He is artist Adam Heimbach. Get on visitmilwaukee.org and follow him around tomorrow. See if you can find the cash and the sculptures. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
We got a peppy song from one of the musicals nominated for Best Revival of a Musical for the Tony Awards. Ragtime Tune is the song you need to hear next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
Theater fans like myself and hopefully you are getting ready for the Tony Awards Sunday night. A couple of nominations for Wisconsin Connected Talent, and I have your personal invitation to join me for a fun watch party at Skylight Music Theater. But first, a song from a musical nominated for Best Revival of a Musical. From Ragtime, this is a peppy tune, Getting Ready Rag, from the Ragtime 2025 Broadway cast recording. It's a song you need to hear on What's on Tap.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Getting Ready Rag!
There we go. Getting Ready Rag from the Ragtime 2025 Broadway cast recording and Ragtime 11 nominations in the Tony Awards. And if you want to really enjoy the Tony Awards, come join me at Skylight Music Theater in the historic Third Ward for a Tony Awards watch party. A red carpet, Ryan J. Reviews is going to be hosting. I may crash that a bit before Ryan J. and I do a podcast all about Tony predictions at 5:30 in the Skylight Music Theater parlor. But dress up, get glamorous, see the Tonys on that huge projection screen that they're going to lower above the stage inside the truly beautiful Cabot Theater. Laugh with your friends on live performances by some of the spectacularly talented singers we have here. They will be on stage during the commercial breaks. Prizes, a silent auction. Tickets are just $20. So have a lot of fun. Celebrate excellence in live theater at one of our excellent live theaters. SkylightMusicTheater.org to get your tickets and join us on Sunday. Shake James and Alexander Jean, they join me in the WTMJ studio with the new scoop on new Milwaukee sneakers, next on What's on Tap.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to the second hour of What's on Tap, where I am thrilled to bring you even more creativity. It's 7:35. In the studio with me is Jim Weatherly. He is the new co-owner of The Gobbler, the historic Gobbler Theater that is reopening in Johnson Creek, and the music that they'll bring to that area right there in between Madison and Milwaukee, and the unique decor and design of The Gobbler. If it's someplace that you remember going as a supper club, or if it's a place that you might be curious to go now that it's a music venue again, that conversation is coming up. But first, I'm absolutely overjoyed to have two guests in the studio with me. And I am not a sneaker freak, but if you are, we all collect our different things. And if you are in that wheelhouse, oh, I am thrilled to introduce to you. Let's go round robin. You go first.
How you doing? My name is Shake James, owner of Click Sneaks and J Academy.
And you are?
Alexander John, creative director for Click Sneaks and, you know, J Academy as well.
And you have new shoe news with a new shoe drop coming out on Saturday. But before we talk about the new design and all the creativity and inspiration that's gone into it, can we talk about the previous shoe drop in April, which I was very excited because that was where I got to meet Shake in the green room over here. And I was like, oh, let me see these shoes. Adidas Samba. And look, they've got like the map of Milwaukee. I was very excited about those shoes. So tell us about that shoe and how long was the line to get that exclusively collectible, technologically wearable shoe or wearable technology shoe. There we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, the shoe was great, man. It was a map of the city of Milwaukee, just all the neighborhoods, just to make sure that everybody from the city feel represented, you know. And it was
the viewfinder. It was Cream City color brick shoe. Yes. And then really did look like the map does. I've seen people wearing them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Why you ain't wearing them?
Because I didn't get any, number one.
Oh.
And number two, I was just talking with artist Adam Heimbach. He was just in here because he's part of the Visit Milwaukee Gold Rush scavenger hunt. So he has created these cheese wedge sculptures. They look like rectangle, neon orange.
Yeah.
And the gist is, do you open up these sculptures and find out how much, literally, dollar bill cash is inside when you find the scavenger hunt? Or this is a work of art by Adam Heimbach that he has signed. Or do you keep it?
Mm. Yeah.
I am the person who would keep it.
Yeah.
Because I asked you, Shake, when you showed us the shoes a couple months ago, I asked you, would you rather see people wearing these at Summerfest? Because the wearable technology is the tongue of the shoe gets you, the tag of the shoe gets you into Summerfest.
Yes.
You don't have to swipe. You just walk right in. That's your free ticket to Summerfest, which is fascinating.
Yes.
But would you rather have somebody wear them in and scuff them up? Because, you know, these are collectibles. People have walls of displays of sneakers. So what makes you happier? And you told me you'd be happier with people wearing these
100%
Adidas shoes.
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I like for people to enjoy the shoes, man. I mean, all that, keep them in a glass. I mean, I would rather see people wearing them and getting enjoyment out of them. Because I know these shoes brought a lot of people joy, man. I mean, I wish I had more for everybody, but, you know, we're working on some stuff for next year, but... So stay tuned on that.
In demand. So how many of the viewfinder shoes were done?
2,000.
2,000. That is a limited run.
Yeah.
And truly, though, at the store, how long was the line? How long was the wait?
Probably from, what was it, like five hours?
7 hours, actually.
7 hours? Yeah, it was long.
Seven hours. We went over the time. We were supposed to close at 4:30. We went to 7:30.
Yeah. It was long. It was long. I felt like we even started early. Like, the line was so long. We supposed to start at 11, so I started at like 10:15 to try to, you know, get the line down. It was really long, man. It was really great, you know, the way the city showed up, though. I really appreciate everybody, man. So
it has to make your heart very happy.
Yeah, 100%.
But they are sold out now, all 2,000 pairs.
Going in 60 seconds.
And seen a pair on eBay for any astronomical amount yet? Do you keep an eye?
Yeah, we saw one pair. Somebody sold it on Facebook. It was $1,000. Somebody sold it. Then I saw one on there for $7.99. And then I saw some on StockX for like anywhere. They're going from anywhere from like $250 to like $400, depending on the size.
Yeah, with an average sale of like $350, like $275 to $350 right now.
Well, that's right now. Yeah. Wait till the little time passes and people are really having the FOMO of, I should have gotten in line. Those were cool shoes. So that was the Viewfinder Samba. Mm-hmm. When we come back, Shake James and Alexander John are going to tell you about the brand new shoe that is all Milwaukee all over again, but in a very colorful, different way. Mm-hmm. And when you can get them, stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And if you love Milwaukee, you have a new way to show your pride. My guests in the studio are Shake James of Clicks and Sneaks.
Yes.
And
Alexander John,
creative director.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about your Adidas collaboration and such a special shoe called the Viewfinder. The Samba style that came out in April, that super cool Cream City kind of color brick with the map drawn on, with some other special touches and Native American details, and the fact that it has the tag, the wearable technology, that people will be wearing these shoes into Summerfest because that's your ticket.
Yeah.
And Harmonic Harvest, why am I forgetting the executive director's name there? But she came in to interview with me and she was wearing a shirt and the shoes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I was like, I just met Shake James and he said, yes, you should wear it. It's okay. You don't have to keep them in a box.
I love to hear that.
So there is a genuine wave of sneaker enthusiasts of all kinds, all styles, all ages who loved the first shoe. So now you're back with the news of the next shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, take it away. Tell us all about it.
So what a lot of people don't know is that the two shoes are related. They're family. You know, they were actually supposed to drop at the same time, but looking at everything and the story being told, Shake just decided, like, we want to slow it down and actually have both have their own moment because they're two different styles and two different designs, but they're basically saying the same thing in a different way. So the Samba gets you here. It's the actual literal map of Milwaukee. So it has the travel inspiration behind that. But then what do you do when you get here? And so that's what the Milwaukee Forum is. It's all the things to do in Milwaukee, the cultural map. And so we use the topography map of Milwaukee that has the same colors referenced in the lines on the insoles of the shoe. So it's kind of like the soul and the culture to the city. So that's what this new shoe represents. So both of them are actually connected. So a lot of people don't know that, though.
We'll show some photos on the WTMJ YouTube live stream if you want to see this new Adidas collab with Shake James and Alexander John. Because the first shoe, as I was describing, lovely, little mellow with the cream color. Mm-hmm. This is completely different, and it's very vibrant, very colorful. And they are not the same design on each shoe. It is two different shoes. So if you text the word watch to Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620, text watch to 855-616-1620, get a good look at this shoe. And I think it's going to be something you're going to share with your friends who love sneakers because these are works of art.
Yeah. Prior to Shake collaborating with Visit Milwaukee and Summerfest, he had dropped several 414 renditions. So hidden in this new shoe, even though they don't match, they actually favor each other because they're also based off of previous designs that he's put out. So you have like the references, the soul color, the Cream City brick is still there too. So we're using that on the shoes as well on the front. So it's this debossed brick in one shoe.
Tell us about some of the colors and the symbolism, truly.
Yeah. So we got the cheese on there, water on there. So I was very blessed for Adidas to let us put holes in the stripes, you know, to reference back to the cheese. So that was huge.
Like Swiss cheese?
Yeah. So we got actually holes in the stripes. And you know how those big companies is. They're very protective of their trademarks and stuff like that. So they let us do that. So I thought that was super dope, you know.
Yeah.
Super, super dope.
That's always meaningful when someone like Adidas does let the creators create.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Isn't so precious about it. Like, okay, but that's a line that you can't color outside of.
Absolutely.
So that is a meaningful partnership. How did you develop a partnership like that with Adidas to trust you to that level?
Man, it's been a long, you know, like I have a heavy music background. And so just kind of like from that, being around the music industry for a lot of years, it developed into a relationship with Adidas. You know, it goes back like 30, 35 years. So it's been a true blessing. I'm just so grateful for them to support me, like on all my community endeavors and things like that.
What a wonderful way to help Milwaukee get on the fashion scene by having this relationship with them.
Putting Milwaukee on the map.
You know it. And tell me the speedy side of these shoes. What do these shoes have to do with car racing?
So, I mean, with Visit Milwaukee involved, it's been amazing because we have like access to spaces that we kind of like are new to. So the concept of racing came about with them having this race come up where they're sponsoring this car and they decided to let us handle the design of the car. And so with us having this collaboration, it's like, why don't we make the car look like the sneaker or reference the design of the sneaker in the car? So this is the first time that you will see a car reference that will actually be racing, because we've seen art programs before where brands have painted a car or got an artist to do something cool at Art Basel. But this car is going to race. And we didn't just design the car. We actually designed the suit, the fire suit as well.
Yeah.
So this racer is fully decked out in the sneakers with, you know, the actual the gear on that matches the topography map of Milwaukee, and the racer is from Milwaukee. Like, how, it doesn't get any better than that. Like, everything just falls into the slot. So it's a first of its kind, and we have a lot of first of its kind in this collab, so it just matches to me. Like, everything is just perfect.
That's a wonderful ripple. Yuvan Sundaramuthi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yuvan Sundaramuthi. Mm-hmm. Morrissey. Sorry, everybody. As you can tell, I am not completely obsessed with the indie NXT competition world. But again, yeah. when you talk about first, this is how someone like me who isn't really keeping up with auto racing. Oh, right. wait, here's somebody to root for because Yuvan, I won't try his last name again, uh-huh. but you're right. He's got an engineering degree
yeah.
from University of Wisconsin. He's a yes. Badger
yep.
and is yep. working at Tesla. So yeah. knows forward-thinking technology and is yeah. going to be driving around in this IndyCar weekend in St. Louis. And I'm assuming both of you will get to be there as part of the fun.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Lots
Hopefully
of
they
footage.
Let me drive the car, man. I want to drive the car.
I think they should let you.
Yeah.
Or at least the pace car. But yeah. I think you should, you've got to at least get some photo opportunities in a car. But it is interesting. So, Alexander, did you truly have to adapt all of your design to the layout of this IndyCar?
So, yes. But I think all of the design wasn't the goal. It was to make it actually favor. So how does he walk up and look cool in the shoes walking to this car? So that's the thought process. And how do we make everything shine and have its moment? So using the texture of the topography map towards the mid, I would call it like the belly of the car.
Yeah.
And then using the Cream City brick, that colorway, and then throwing Shake's logo, Summer Fest, Visit Milwaukee. Everything just kind of like matches up and favors the sneakers. So everything plays well together. So
what a
it,
cool,
it looks like it belongs.
Yeah, that is super cool. That's going to be the St. Louis IndyCar weekend mm-hmm. that we can see that. And what weekend is that? Is that
the 7th?
This weekend.
I was
weekend.
Like, wait a minute. I was like, hold yeah. on. Seven. Oh, so you're going to. You're going to be flying right under. You're going to be one of the few people who are excited to take off their shoes when they go to the airport and go, oh, look,
yeah.
please scan these. Please yeah. look at my shoes. But I think the pit crew is also going to be wearing
Correct.
Your shoes.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm
again,
so happy for you to see your art be yeah. so embraced and interpreted
yeah.
in a different way.
Yeah, it's a world's first. It's crazy. We designed the back of the card as well that he's going to be signing. So we had a lot of creative input in this thing, and you know it's a blessing to be involved, but to be appreciated in that way, and allowed that creative freedom.
All right. Well, we're talking about St. Louis. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can get this shoe here in Milwaukee, and I also want to ask you two fine gentlemen where you were earlier today. Artist Alexander John and sneaker entrepreneur Shake James in the studio with me. Stay with us.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
And now you know there is a new Milwaukee shoe that you need in your life. Another collaboration with Adidas and Shake James and Alexander John. And it is called What the Milwaukee? Forum Low is the style. Am I saying it right, guys?
Yeah, yes.
I like how you said it, too.
Perfectly. Perfectly.
How do you say it?
Save.
There I mean, we go.
It's got to have that excitement to it.
Yes.
You know?
It's a bright and colorful shoe. What's the best way to see the shoe? What's your website?
Oh, sneaksthirdward.com.
Sneaksthirdward.com. Also, yes. if you go to visitmilwaukee.org, you'll yes. see it there as well, because very colorful, very vibrant, very fun. First drop is on June 6th on Saturday.
Correct.
Is that going to be online and also at the store?
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
You prepared for another line?
Yes.
Another yeah. 5-hour line? Very
it
good.
It ain't going to be 5 hours this time. We're a little bit more prepared this time.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit more prepared.
But that's good. But all yes. hands on deck and making
go.
As many people happy as quickly as that possible. Part. That's also good too. And you know, you get some social media buzz and people are making friends in line. There's
yes.
nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
It's
absolutely.
Bringing the community together.
Yes. Absolutely.
And then there's also going to be a Summerfest release.
Yes.
On June 19th.
On the Summerfest ground. Yes.
Will you, yes. you both be there at Summerfest?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Soak
yeah.
it in.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm happy for both of you. And then, so thank you for bringing not just creativity to this fashion sense and making it part of Milwaukee, but you know also putting Milwaukee on the worldwide map in so many different ways, whether it's auto racing or having other cities see us and go, hey. All right.
Correct.
Let's inspire more people. And speaking of inspiration, Shake James, one of the reasons I wanted to invite you is in our last conversation that we had off the radio, just hanging out in the green room outside, you were telling me how you were spending your days. Mm-hmm. And how do you spend most of your days?
I mean, most of them is giving back to the community with the kids and stuff like that. trying to show them a different way, trying to give them somewhere to somewhere positive to put all that built up energy that they got inside them.
And you're taking shoes to schools and other organizations and just having young people get out the markers and crayons and Sharpies and pens and decorate and design?
Yes, trying to teach them design, open their minds up. I just feel like, you know, like a lot of kids like want to start their own brands or things of that nature. They don't know where to start. And so kind of like what I'm doing with AJ is that we are not only teaching them how to design, but we're also teaching them the strategy behind it, how to market it, how to sell it, and things of that nature. How to, you know, photography, how do you want your product viewed by the world? Like, this is the first time. This is, you know, you only get one chance to go first. Mm-hmm. So we're working with kids on things like that.
Mm-hmm. Bringing up that next generation of entrepreneurs and artists. And
you can
be both and giving back to the community.
Yes,
yeah.
And,
always.
And finding that spark, because I think a lot of us think, oh, maybe we're not good at that. But if somebody else sees you, it's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Always. Believes in you.
Yeah. Creativity is a space that can be occupied by the willing, you know? And a lot of what we teach is that if you're willing to be creative, then you can. You know, a lot of kids don't even know they have creativity until they give it a shot. And then some of the kids that were kind of nervous end up with some of the best designs in the end, which is always cool.
And you've given them a way to express themselves that they didn't originally have.
That part.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much to both of you for joining me and for being these creative forces in our city. Alexander John, artiste and creative director of Clicks and Sneaks, and Shake James. And again, that website, one more time for people to get their hands on the newest Adidas collab.
Yeah, online it'll be at sneaksthirdward.com, and in person it'll be at Sneaks at 1320 East Brady Street.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, yeah.
And appreciate now we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, where we have a new entertainment venue to look forward to. Or do we? It's called The Gobbler. I would say, go ahead, jump right in. Welcome to What's on Tap. Jim Weatherly, The Gobbler primary owner. So when I and also Jeffrey Bentzman.
Hi, Sandy.
Here to tell us about the reopening of The Gobbler entertainment venue in Johnson Creek. So not really a new venue, but a revitalized venue.
Yes, it's we're excited. Thanks for having us, Sandy. I appreciate it very much. Yeah, we're excited about Saturday night. We're having our kickoff reopening, the grand reopening, with Terry Clark, who's in the Country Hall of Fame. And we're just about sold out, which is a... I think the community is excited, and we're hoping to, you know, get back all of the people who really enjoyed going to the Gobbler during its last iteration, where it was like open from 2016 to until COVID hit in 2020. So this is kind of a labor of love, and I have a great team, people like Jeff and his cousin Paul, and we have a great general manager, John Kaiser, who actually is from Ladysmith, Wisconsin. And so he's our boots on the ground all the time. He came down to – he runs a rock festival up in northern Wisconsin for the last 6 years. And so, it was a short window to get this place after 5 years closed up and running, but – we're ready to go and excited about Saturday night.
It has a fun name, The Gobbler, and it's been fun to do the research and see the photos. It keeps being called turkey-shaped. To me, I see like a spaceship. It's a little more spaceship-shaped than turkey-shaped. Explain to me what how The Gobbler got its name and where the turkey enters into this.
Sadie, it's so funny. I'm still looking for the turkey shape. I guess the entranceway supposedly is the turkey, you know, the neck of the turkey coming out. You know, I've done a deep dive on everything about The Gobbler.
Well, good. I'm glad I didn't offend you, Jim. But it would have been terrible to have offended you.
Yeah. I remember growing up in Milwaukee when I was little and, you know, being a lifelong Milwaukeean, I remember always getting a Hartwig turkey, for Thanksgiving. And actually, Charles Hartwig, who was the gentleman who in Johnson Creek had a very large turkey farm, and he had a processing plant there. And so what he did was, when he was exiting that business, he decided to build this, let's call it a unique, and some architects would kind of call it a somewhat, I don't know, unique, iconic, and some people would say it looks more like a spaceship than a turkey. So, but yeah, it has an incredible history. The revolving bar, after doing a deep dive, I found out, which revolves about an hour and I think 30 minutes, goes around in a circle, was actually, we got it from the Waldorf Astoria in Chicago. And a lot of the exterior of it was actually stone and quartz that was recovered from a volcano in Mexico. And when I started reading this, I'm like, this place needs to be saved. You know, remember the old Joni Mitchell song?
Paved paradise and put up a
A parking lot. This place, you know, could have been on that endangered species list if we didn't come in and, you know, with guys like Jeff and rescued it from, you know, extinction. It's too unique, too important to the community in the Jefferson County area, and hopefully also Milwaukee and Madison as our new opening starts to grow, bring back the old fan base, but also introduce all genres of music to, you know, to the whole Southeast Wisconsin area. I think it's important.
I'm glad that we can sustain another entertainment venue, but this also sounds incredibly unique. So we've talked about the outside and some of the inside. When we come back, I want to find out more about the rotating stage and some of the other aspects that you think will make this a particularly unique destination for entertainment. So stay with us. He is Jim Weatherly and also Jeffrey Bensman of The Gobbler, having its grand reopening on Saturday. Stay with us.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Please don't make me smile. I just want to be mad for a while.
That is the voice of Terry Clark, country star, who will be at The Gobbler in Johnson Creek. And if you're saying, wait, The Gobbler? We are here to tell you, Saturday is the grand reopening with Terry Clark on the round stage. Jim Weatherly and Jeffrey Bensman from The Gobbler. And Jim, you were just talking about the round rotating stage in the center of The
Not
Gobbler.
Not the stage. Got to be careful here. That might be vertigo. The bar actually goes
so
around.
It's still worth seeing.
The bartenders, it's kind of interesting. The bar goes around, so they have to, if they, let's just say, if they have an emergency and they have to exit to get out of from all of the bar action, they have to wait till they get to the opening
because
the
bar is going around.
So if you do go to the restroom, ladies and gentlemen, and you come back and you find out that the person you came with is in a different location and your drink is,
in
motion.
Nothing to do with your alcohol, right?
Yeah. Be careful of your intake. We want to bring all those people that maybe stay. Also, we want to create a little ecosystem out there between the hotels and the restaurants and have people come and stay and enjoy the area. The shopping mall is, the outlet mall is right across 94 from us. And
Johnson Creek, sure.
A lot of restaurants and things to enjoy. So we hope to kind of make all those connections with the businesses out there to help drive, the business in the area, whether it's the high school or the community that want to use it. Jeff has been instrumental in, just linking us up with so many people here in the Milwaukee area that potential to partner with them. And that's one of the things that Jeffrey's been involved in, is really bringing strategic partnership opportunities to the forefront so that we can, as we develop our customer list, old and new, and grow it. We want to be able to partner with a lot of businesses to help, that synergy between us, the community, and all of the potential other businesses that might benefit from the Gobbler
being
reopened again.
Yeah, I'm glad you see that the arts economy really can be meaningful, because all the entertainment will truly bring people together under the roof inside the Gobbler. And like you said, you're going to be in that area. Maybe it's the first time you've been there for a little while. Okay, stop and shop on your way there or on the way back.
Absolutely.
Or if you enjoy the Gobbler, what else is down the street that'll be fun for a pre-show or a post-show?
Absolutely.
Refreshment. I
mean, shop local is kind of a model that we've adopted. We didn't create it, but we believe in the independent artist. We believe in the independent venue. We have a very intimate, our seating capacity is 406, which the artists love because they can get their message across, or messages, and no seat is further than 55 feet from the stage. So you will get the experience like it's theoretically or actually in your lap, and we're very, very excited about that. The people that I've talked to, both business people in that locale and local citizens, are very excited about the reopening, and we're very excited to bring that there, because we're very much Wisconsinites, most of us, and we have adopted Wisconsinites, and we're different in a very good way, and we can show both artists and our customers that this is a place that they can be proud of, that we can be proud of. Jim has talked to local, the high schools and so forth. We can provide perhaps in the future some type of internships for those folks, the retailers, et cetera. We want to ingrain ourselves and embed in the best possible way in the community for the betterment of the community.
And you're taking it seriously.
It's so nice to see everyone out there being so excited that, you know, someone real who believes in the project has come in and is investing again in the area. So, you know, I'm being from Milwaukee my whole life, even though I live in Arizona, kind of a proverbial snowbird, my heart is here in Milwaukee. And so I've read every John Gerta book about Milwaukee, and have a real love of the history of everything Wisconsin, from old fashions to cheese curds, so to speak. So I love this venue, and it's kind of a labor of love to get this thing, re-energized and bring it back like the Phoenix, so that people can come out there. And we better see you there, Sandy.
Well, I was just going to say, I can't be there on Saturday night for Terry Clark's show. I would love to be, but I have a previous booking. But for people who are interested and go, wow, that sounds like the rotating bar sounds fun, or knowing that when you get a ticket, you are not going to be more than 55 feet away from the stage, for an intimate experience, I think that's really appealing for a lot of people. So what's the best way to keep up with what's happening at the Gobbler and the shows that you'll be booking in this first year?
Well, our marketing push, actually, we're up on every platform that you can imagine. You go to gobblertheater.com. You'll find everything, including, we're on, including upcoming acts. We're just still, this happened so fast that we're building out our webpage, but you can see we're just putting up the next few acts. We have quite a few exciting announcements that are coming up as far as country, a little bit of rock, a little bit of pop. We even have, I think, booked the Glenn Miller Orchestra and some, things that you wouldn't really expect. And we're also doing some comedy. We just booked a well-known comic, a national well-known comic, who is, going to be appearing there. So many announcements, contracts are being signed. So we're excited to get all those things out. But you can see us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Just had Grace Weber, local artist out there, who did we sponsored her show down at the Nunnemaker Mansion, the old UWM Alumni Center. And she came out last Saturday and we filmed a beautiful, and she just raved about listening. We did a sound check and she sang a little bit, and she was just amazed, because we have a gentleman named Michael Allison. And Michael was on the road 30 years and has incredible stories about touring with the Stones and playing snooker with, Keith Richards. He's got a book in his future, but we're excited about it.
Sounds like a lot of good stories. So, put him up on stage and start storytelling.
So, So don't put a mic in my face and ask me to start talking about a gobbler, because I could go on for a long time. I'm excited.
But I am too. So thank you very much for coming by. He is Jim Weatherly, along with Jeffrey Benzman. Congratulations on the grand reopening on Saturday with Terry Clark's country performance. And I look forward to keeping everybody updated on the other bookings at the Gobbler. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.